Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. What happened before the Big Bang? The new philosophy of cosmology was the title of a recent interview published in The Atlantic. The interview reveals something surprising about the leading philosophers of cosmology. They confess that intelligent design is a possibility, but not one they want to consider. Groups of philosophers from the United States and the United Kingdom are seeking to establish the philosophy of cosmology as a new field of study within the philosophy of physics, in order to tackle questions concerning the nature, age, and fate of the universe. A founding member of the U.S. group, a philosopher of physics named Tim Maudlin of New York University, was the subject of the interview, which covered topics touching on the origin of the universe, the origin of life, and intelligent design. One of the first questions explored was, what is the most striking problem at the foundation of cosmology? Unsurprisingly, the answer was the origin of the universe. It turns out the whole thing is very improbable. Maudlin explained that when it comes to the Big Bang, in order to explain the evolution of the universe, that state had to be in a very low entropy state. And there's a line of thought that says that anything that is very low entropy is, in some sense, very improbable or unlikely. In order to overcome this improbable stage, a new line of thought has arisen that the Big Bang state itself arose out of some previous condition, and that therefore there might be an explanation of it in terms of the previously existing dynamics by which it came about. In other words, because the pre-universe would be in an improbable state in order to become the Big Bang, and because that improbability is bothersome to the philosophers of cosmology, some now rid themselves of the improbability of the Big Bang by explaining that something else must have happened before it in order to explain the unlikely state of being of the universe in the moments before the Big Bang. There, at least that's settled. But wait, there's more. One strategy used to thinking about this possibility is thinking that our universe, what we thought was everything, is really just a small part of everything, a kind of bubble universe, a small region of something much larger, and there could be an infinite number of bubble universes, and we happen to find ourselves in this region because it is the one that can support life. If there are an infinite number of bubble universes, we will, of course, exist in one in which life can be supported. Maudlin concludes, that gives you a kind of account for why the universe we see around us has certain properties. Or, to put it another way, the reason this universe has a planet in it that can support life is because this is one of the bubble universes that has a planet in it that is capable of supporting life, which is precisely why our universe is as tuned as it is. I hope we've got that clear. The philosopher of cosmology is then asked about the applications of this new branch of philosophy and whether its purpose is to translate the complexity of physics into a common language of meaning, or if it will contribute to suggesting new experiments. The answer is basically no and yes. No, it's not going to translate problems, but yes, it may suggest avenues for solving them. If it can. In the course of their work, philosophers will be thinking of the universe as a whole, one huge physical object. It's not entirely clear, but I think by this they mean only this bubble universe, this part of the infinite number of bubble universes. One cannot accuse them of not thinking big, but an infinite number of bubble universes, each the part of a greater whole, might be considered thinking too big. The issue of the nature of time and whether it was real was also tackled, but we won't take the time here, or the illusion that is time, to address it. I just don't have the time. The interviewer acknowledges that one aspect of the philosophy of cosmology that has been troublesome is, quote, the idea of fine-tuning, the notion that in the set of all possible physics, the subset that permits the evolution of life is very small, and that from this it is possible to conclude that the universe is either one of a large number of universes, a multiverse, or that perhaps some great agent has fine-tuned the universe with the expectation that it generate life. Unquote. In other words, it looks like the existence of life suggests an intelligent design. When asked if he expects the idea of some agent fine-tuning the universe for life will have staying power, Dr. Maudlin recognizes that the fine-tuning arguments, as you stated, is a perfectly correct statement of it. He states that physicists he speaks with prefer not to rely on the fine-tuning argument to argue for a cosmology that has lots of bubble universes or lots of worlds, and would prefer to argue that the tuning arises naturally from fundamental physics. He states, their arguments tend not to be, we have to believe in these many worlds to solve the fine-tuning problem. They tend to be, these many worlds are generated by physics we have other reasons for believing in. He then suggests that if it turns out there aren't these many worlds and that physics is unable to generate them, the one terrible mistake that could be made would be to conclude that the only option is there was some intelligent designer. He asserts there are just too many freely adjustable parameters in physics, too many constants of nature that could be set at different values, and that physicists expect to reduce the number of those parameters to better explain fine-tuning in the future. As the adjustable parameters are reduced, the problem of fine-tuning goes away. In other words, the problem of fine-tuning is real. It's there. It hasn't gone away. But many scientists certainly hope it will, particularly since it raises a troublesome question of an intelligent designer. But note the doctor never really answers the question as to whether or not the idea of intelligent design will have staying power. Instead, it is the idea to be avoided. For all the times proponents of intelligent design are scornfully dismissed as absurd or their theory is mislabeled as creationist, it is informative to note that the idea isn't dismissed here. It's just not an idea many scientists are comfortable exploring. However, an infinite number of bubble universes is okay. Dr. Maudlin was asked whether philosophers of cosmology would be addressing the probabilistic arguments for the existence of life elsewhere in the universe, a question that led to an interesting observation about a problem with evolution. While acknowledging that philosophers may or may not address the probability of life, he points out that a question that seems to elude everyone is how often, after life evolves, you'll have intelligent life capable of making technology. He points out that of the billions of species that have evolved, only one has developed intelligence to the level of producing technology, and therefore, intelligence is really not very useful in an evolutionary sense. Dr. Maudlin reflects that human beings tend to think of themselves as the top of the evolutionary ladder, and that our intelligence is the thing that all of evolution is striving toward. But that is an error of the human ego, and science knows that it is not true. He points out that beetles are not smart and don't need to be. He asserts that if evolution were marching toward greater intelligence, evolution would have produced much more intelligent beetles. He points out that there is no empirical data to suggest there is a high probability that evolution on another planet would lead to technological intelligence. So the complexity of man remains a mystery. It's almost as if something designed us this way. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider supporting the Center for Science and Culture. Go to idthefuture.com and click the yellow donate button. This podcast is copyright 2012, the Discovery Institute. All rights reserved.